Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
What came next is intended for mature audiences only. Episodes discuss topics that can be triggering, such as emotional, physical, and sexual violence, animal abuse, suicide, and murder. I am not a therapist, nor am I a doctor. If you're in need of support, please visit somethingwaswrong.com/resources for a list of nonprofit organizations that can help. Opinions expressed by my guests on the show are their own and do not necessarily represent the views of myself or Broken Cycle Media. Resources and source material are linked in the episode notes. Thank you so much for listening. John Michael Lander is a former Olympic-bound diver, actor, author, speaker, and advocate. His words and efforts have been seen everywhere, from Time magazine to the TED Talk stage. He has entitled his experiences of sexual abuse and trafficking, An Athlete's Silence. By sharing his story on What Came Next, episode 22, and elsewhere, his goal is to bring awareness to predatory practices in the athletic and education worlds, as well as to change the way society receives sexual abuse victims. I am so honored he joined me again today to discuss updates in his journey. He also had the beautiful idea of flipping the script and host swapping for the second part of the next two episodes. The Broken Cycle Media team deeply appreciates John Michael's time, dedication to his advocacy, and for the creativity he is bringing to the next two episodes.
Hello, I'm John Michael Lander. I'm an author, a speaker, an advocate. I'm also a coach for the Self-Talk Institute. As a 14-year-old Olympic-bound athlete, the adults entrusted with my training groomed me and sex trafficked me into silence, causing one of the most exciting times of my life to be filled with shame and guilt. My mother was also part of that cooperation, if you want to call it that. The lawyer approached my mother first and basically groomed her to get her consent before he ever came towards me. And so when I go and speak to my mother saying this is all happening, she's already saying, yes, it's a good thing. My mom's telling me to do it, so I'm going to go ahead and do it because it sounds great. It's this incredible opportunity. And yet she was actually part of it because she was the one that had to have me ready whenever they called, when they wanted to meet me and where I was supposed to be. She made sure I was in all those places. For my situation, it was more like, well, if mom says it's okay, then I guess it's okay. And this is also going to help them, so I'm doing my best for them. I agreed. I signed the contract with the lawyer. There's been some pushback when people hear my stories. Well, you must have known what was going to happen if you signed a contract. But I wasn't under the influence that the contract was going to lead to trafficking.
You were also a child. The idea of consent is a layered one because a child truly can't consent.
Right. And it was presented as an opportunity. And that's how they colored it for me. This is an incredible opportunity. You're the only one that's getting this. We're not giving it to anyone else in this area. So you should feel really proud. I thought the contract was going to help me get to the Olympics. But then again, on the other side of that, there was all this fear base that they put on, telling me that if I don't do what they tell me to do, then they're going to sue my parents. My parents will have to pay everything back. So it becomes this position you're in the middle between the professionals and your family, and you're trying to protect your family. So you start doing things. I punished myself for so long thinking that this was my fault. I should have fought back. I should have done everything that everyone tells me to do. As we've talked before, sometimes in the early stages of my experiences, my body froze. I literally dissociated from my body, sitting up in the corner by the ceiling, looking down, watching it happen. I think that's one of the things we've got to allow people to understand, that this does happen. Everyone's experience is unique and different, and there's nothing wrong with what you did or what you thought or how you handled it. You were in survival mode. What I do now is that I have broken my silence so that I could be the voice for the voiceless. It started out as for male athletes, but it's now grown open to any male who has experienced some type of a sexual abuse or trafficking within their lifetime. So they may not be able to speak about it, and I'm here to share my story so that they can say, yes, this happened to me as well. Boys, they're not going to report, because the way society has told them that if you want to be a man, you have to fight back. If you let this happen, you chose for it to happen.
There's also this ideal in society of masculinity equating to stoicism or quote unquote self-reliance. That in and of itself is keeping boys quiet too.
Exactly. Unfortunately, I feel like if we would go back through history and speak to the gentlemen that have committed suicide, we may find out that they had been abused in their childhood as well. They just never had a way to express it until it overtook them. And that's what's really important about needing to report and needing to get the help, because it's like a silent little creepy thing behind you and you don't know when it's going to pop up. If you're not ready, it can do some damage. I think a lot of times as humans, we try to pull away from anything that's uncomfortable. And sometimes we need to acknowledge that something happened. And instead, we will pull away and try to numb ourselves, which cause other issues. And so it's like, I need to look at what happened. And what does it mean? I think a lot of times, survivors, and I know I did this myself, I created a false self. I created up all these lies and excuses for why things happened. If you'd like to hear more about my personal journey, please go back and listen to episode 22 of What Came Next, which is entitled An Athlete's Silence. I want to thank you. You heard me, you believed me, you supported me. And after the first interview we did with you, that's when everything started to blow up for me. People started reaching out to me from all over the world. That opened a lot of doors. It's been very interesting because a lot of them have been survivors reaching out and saying, thank you for sharing this because it allows me to share my story now. Or it helped me understand what was going on inside of me. And the fact that I'm a man has made a lot of men also start reaching out and saying, this happened to me as well. But I've also got a lot of contacts from allies, people who may be working with someone who they think has gone through something like this. And it has helped them to see the signs a little bit easier. So it's been coming from both sides, which has been great. And then the other thing that's really great, it's all over the world. I've gotten some messages from the Philippines, Canada, Australia, Switzerland. England is a big place. I didn't know you were so popular in England. It's just been really, really inspiring. And yet it is also helping me to see my story even clearer, what I'm going through and the steps that I'm taking to heal myself. With their stories coming back and sharing, I'm able to see myself as well, even more.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
I am so excited to have you back on. It's very fitting that you're the first What Came Next update. One of our biggest followers and supporters. She's amazing. We had a Q&A episode not long ago, and her question was, are we going to get updates on the What Came Next guests? Because we are using What Came Next as a place to update listeners on the Something Was Wrong guests. I know, though, you've had so much going on. Your work continues to keep growing and growing. Another Q&A question was, where do you get your guests? And I said, 10% are direct messages on Instagram. 10% are documentaries I might have find somebody. And the other 80% are from John Michael. I have so much gratitude for you and for everything you've done for our community thus far. And I cannot wait to share all the other things that you've been up to and the change that you're making.
I have to thank you. I'm always looking for people for you because I think what you have done is so amazing. One thing that came out of all of this was the predatory grooming trifecta. And that kind of grew out of our last conversation. The trifecta is usually what happens within sports institutions where the predator will groom the institution first so that they can get a nice solid grounding there and have the institution protect them. Then they will go and groom the parents next. Then they get the parents on their side before they ever go to the child. And this has been used everywhere we've seen with the U.S. gymnastics, with Ohio State University, Penn State University. What happens is it takes them years before they're ever caught because they are protected by the institution first and then the parents. And as we saw in the U.S. gymnastics, that doctor would abuse the young girls in his office with the parents sitting behind him, telling the parents that he's doing these medical procedures. Later on, when the girl tells the mother something happened, she goes, oh, no. He was doing that because he needed to help loosen up your hip. Things like that. That's how they got away with it for so long. It's also in the entertainment industry, as we've seen with Nickelodeon and all the other child star programs that we've heard about. And that's just the tip of the iceberg that's going to start opening up more and more. And we're going to find out a lot of things in the near future, I think.
That relates to something a brilliant survivor you introduced me to, Kelly G. He mentioned in our interview, we keep looking for the bad guys, quote unquote. However, we're misallocating that energy because it's the systems inherently that are allowing these abusers to either come in and abuse or even grow from the abusive systems. So there is no searching for these bad guys, again, quote unquote, because they are everywhere and can be everywhere, and it could become anyone because the systems are allowing for it.
Yes. There is a stat that says that 97% of predators know who their victim is, and a lot of times it's the people that have come to our dinner tables with our families. I had many times when I would have dinner with the predator sitting at the table with my parents, joking and laughing. We've seen this in any type of organization where the adult is entrusted with our children. And I'll tell you, people are refusing to accept that statistic based on the grooming aspect. It stemmed out of the predatory grooming trifecta. Being groomed in person is not too much different than what's going on online. The only thing that's happening online is you don't know who the other person is because they can tell you who they want you to be. They pretend to be something that they're not. And it's easy to get away with it, but they are still grooming. These predators are connecting with each other and sharing how to groom kids. There is a grooming Bible out there for people who are interested in the black market. They have chat rooms where they share, I did this and this and this. It reminds me of a direct marketing business. You throw out these messages to thousands and thousands of people, and maybe only 10 respond. And if you're sending out thousands to children and these children are coming back, and all you have to do usually is say, hi, how are you? Where are you from? What are you doing? What is it? 500,000 predators are reaching out to children every day. And then they build a relationship with them. They usually will happen in chat rooms. Snapchat's another place. Online games, which is really big because they can have one-on-one conversations while they're playing against the whole world. And they're invited into private rooms. So a lot of these platforms are under attack now because they don't have things in place to protect children. They also will do it by sending them things, like a game dollar, anything that they can find online, things like that, because they think they're going to get it back. And they usually do. You don't know if they're a man or a woman, how old they are, where they're from, because it's through text. If they start to become friends with you and you start asking you personal questions, that should be a red flag. You don't need to share with anybody where you're going to school, because if you tell them where you go to school, they have a way to get onto the school website and start looking for your pictures. If they can find a picture of you on Facebook, your family's Facebook, or on school, they can take that picture and AI it into pictures that are a child sex abuse material, CSAMs, without you even knowing about it. And if children are on their computer and they're online and their camera is there, those people can take pictures of you while you're just chatting with them in the chat rooms. Depending on that child, the child will usually tell everything that they know. I've seen videos where an 8-year-old tells the person where they live, how many parents they have, who's in the household, how many dogs they have. And that's all information that this predator uses to get what they want from the child. They could use threatening things later and saying, we're going to kill your dog. We're going to do this. I know where you live. And so then it becomes a scare tactic. What we have seen so far with sextortion on online grooming, these predators are attacking young men ages 12 through 17, pretending that they're a girl and getting them to send a nude picture of them. And once they get the nude picture, they start to blackmail that child and start to tell them that they're going to send the picture out to everyone in the world. And they just say that so that then they say, you got to come up with so much amount of money. And then they keep pushing and keep pushing. Another thing I just want to throw out there to everyone is that if your child pays, let's say they ask for $500 and the child finds a way to get $500, that's not the end. That's actually the beginning. Then they come back and say, well, I'm going to post this over here on this Pornhub and you need to give me $1,000 now. They will continue to go forward with it. And they've already, many times, have already posted on these Pornhubs and have been paid for posting it on the Pornhub. So they're getting money from both sides. The police force is saying is not to delete those texts or pictures or anything. Keep them on your phone and give the phone over to the police when you report. And that way they can track it through all that inside intelligence that I know nothing about. But a lot of times our children are so embarrassed and ashamed that they'll just start deleting it. And it just makes it harder for the law enforcement to find the people. We've seen kids within 6 hours, end up committing suicide based on these predators. And then if the child has unfortunately taken their life, they will reach out to the parents and to the friends after that child is gone and say, hey, I have these pictures. If you want me to take them down, you have to pay me. And that's how we saw the Gavin's Law down in South Carolina happen, because they approached a child. His dad was a representative. After the boy killed himself, they went to the representative and said, what are you going to do about it? And that's when they started creating these laws.
In 2022, 17-year-old Gavin Guffey was a victim of sexual extortion. The crime resulted in Gavin taking his own life. Gavin's father, Representative Brandon Guffey, sponsored a bill named Gavin's Law in honor of his son and in order to protect other victims. As the South Carolina Department of Education website explains, Gavin's Law is legislation that makes sexual extortion, the act of blackmailing someone using sexually explicit images or videos, a felony offense, and an aggravated felony if the victim is a minor, a vulnerable adult, or if the victim suffers bodily injury or death directly related to the crime. The bill reads in part, quote, the State Department of Education must file a report as to the status of the adoption and implementation of the education policies under the Act to the Governor, the President of the Senate, and the Speaker of the House of Representatives annually,
by July 1st of each year. Not all U.S. states have such laws or protocols designed to specifically address sexual extortion, though. For a comprehensive list of each state's laws and regulations regarding sexual extortion, please visit the episode notes. As a result of his work, John Michael has begun to draw awareness to what he calls predatory internet grooming, or PIG for short.
Those parents who have lost their child based on sextortion, it happens underneath them and they don't even know it's happening. And they wish that they could have really had that conversation. The reason why I started PIG was the fact that it is so difficult the way our law enforcement and our advocates are using such words like sextortion that doesn't make sense to a lot of people. There are so many different words and taglines that it's just confusing. What PIG does is shows parents and children, these are the things to look for, this is what you want to do, and this is what it's about.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
The other thing that is extending out of PIG is what I am calling the PIG Patrol. PIG Patrol is like an organization at schools where kids can come together and talk about what's happening online. What do these words mean? There would be a teacher overhead of it, supporting it and having the conversation, and have them have that open dialogue. Have them start to come up with ways of prevention and resources and creating a unity within the school. Having a PIG Patrol at your school, the children become involved, how to protect each other and how to help each other. Each PIG Patrol could actually be different at each school based on their size of the school, the demographic of the school. It can be changed and altered to fit that particular school. And yet the children are in charge of it. They're the ones that are moving it forward. And the teacher is there to learn from them. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that somebody will hear it and say, can we try it out at our school and become a partnership with them, I think is more of what I'm looking for.
To take control of their own safety, health, and destiny is really important, especially at that time of their lives. This is brilliant also to address cyberbullying, which often occurs with not strangers, but other children at the school.
Which is really kind of a scary thing. Let's say they're seniors in high school. They're a couple and they've broken up and they had sent pictures to each other. Those pictures are then sent to everybody else in retaliation. And those pictures get spread out all over the place. Once that child shares that picture to everyone else, it becomes child sexual abuse material. And that child can be brought up on charges for dispersing that and would have to register as a sex offender for the rest of their life. But what's really even scarier about that is that the parents who own the device that those pictures were sent out on can also be brought up on charges of possessing child sex abuse material without even knowing it. And that's why they're trying to get parents to really be a part of the situation, understand what's going on so that none of this stuff can happen. And then again, on the bullying side, we see that all the time. We've seen many children who have committed suicide based on bullying within the school, but people still are reluctant to address that. I don't know how many people have told me, I just don't want to rock the boat. What if I'm wrong? But what if you're right? I think people need to also be sensitive enough to understand that cyberbullying is really depending on how that child is interpreting it. If that child feels like they were being bullied, then it's bullying. And I think people don't seem to understand that.
Absolutely. your efforts and intentions in the survivor space have made an impact on the community deeply, and you received an award for your work recently.
Yes, it's really interesting. The New Jersey Coalition Against Human Trafficking found out about PIG, and they invited me to come and speak with them this past year. During that time, we did a program called Human Trafficking One-on-One, and then we did another program about how to talk to your children and keep them safe online. And those things I was really part of. The Human Trafficking One-on-One, they actually used that workshop for all of the phys ed and health teachers in the state of New Jersey. So I got to be on the ground floor with both of those things and promote PIG and promote PIG Patrol. What happened is that they awarded me the 2024 Freedom Award, which blew my mind. It was such an incredible celebration because there were all these politicians there, law enforcement, survivors, frontline people in this one huge ballroom together, all for this common cause of stopping human trafficking, online bullying, online sextortion. Everyone's coming together to help it. And New Jersey has been on the forefront of this for a while now. It was an incredible honor, and they've asked me to come back to do more with them, and I'm so honored about that. I'm so excited that they heard me, they believed me, and they saw how important my message was. There were two things going on in my head throughout the whole time. One was, this is really pretty incredible and amazing. And then the other was this, maybe my ego or something was saying, you don't want to be known to win an award for what you went through. Are you sure you want to go through with this? I remember getting my first check that I ever got when I did a speaking engagement. It was really very little money. It was for like $25 to speak to this organization. I could not cash it because I felt like I'm not cashing in on this. And it's that battle. Then I started to talk to other people who were there, and they said, no, it's not what you went through. It's what you're doing with what experience you had. It's not like we're keeping you as a victim here. We're cheerleading the fact that you are trying to move beyond into the thriverhood area or the survivor side. What you're trying to do is to help all these other people not have to go through what you went through. And when I started to wrap my head around that, that's when I started to understand the enormity of it. Then it became like, oh my God, is this really happening? You start questioning yourself. The thing that was really interesting that I remember when they handed me the award was the amount of love that came towards me from everyone in that room. It basically blew me over because I don't think I've ever felt that before. The fact that they all poured love towards me was very, very overwhelming and exciting. I still think about it. I really don't know if I'm able to wrap my head around it because as we talk, and you and I've had this conversation before, the ripple effect that goes out after sharing, presenting, writing a book or whatever, you don't know how far it goes out. You don't know who it's touching. Unless somebody writes back to you or contacts you somehow to say thank you, you have no idea where it's going. And I think that enormity is wow.
There are thousands of people that you haven't heard of that you've made an impact on. We talked about internet being accessibility. The predators have that access, but so do we, the people that are working to make changes for victims and against predators.
Right, exactly.
What would you suggest from a more preventional point of view for parents that want to help their kids navigate the internet more safely?
The first one I tell parents is to talk to your child. It's never too young to start talking to them. The social stuff online is a privilege. And the reason why it's a privilege is this is what's happening in today's society. You don't have to go in there and scare them, but you just want to make sure that they understand that it's not always safe. And if you feel anything in your stomach that you may have done something wrong, or they may have asked the wrong question, or you just feel icky, is the word I use all the time, come tell me. And there's nothing right or wrong. You didn't do anything wrong. We just need to talk about it to see what we need to do next. I am open to whatever you need to share with me so that they do come to you. Building that confidence and that trust with your child is the most important thing. Only 15% of parents know what their children are doing online. That's crazy. And a lot of times parents just give the child the computer and they're not keeping in touch with what's happening. The other thing I say is take time out of your day and Ask them, show me what you're doing online. What game are you playing? Tell me the rules of the game. Get them to start opening up to you. Are you on Snapchat? What does that do? What does that mean? You take a picture and it disappears after? Does it really disappear? Where does that picture go? If your picture disappears, what if somebody saved that picture? Just letting them know what is happening. And with your older children, have that conversation with them. If you're sending interesting pictures to your boyfriend or your girlfriend, if you break up, where will those pictures go? Just because you delete it on your side doesn't mean it's deleted over there. And then be there if they ever have a situation, because it's already over with. There's nothing we can do about it. If they sent a picture, it's out there, it's gone. You can't get it back. Now, what do we do? Well, we have to definitely love that child and make sure that they feel safe and secure, and then get the help that they need. There are three things that I really, really focus on in everything I talk about is prevention, protection, and prosecution. The prevention is talking about it, engaging with your child, knowing what they're doing. Protection is just, I wish that my parents would have believed me when I told them. And that's the hardest thing. You need to believe your child. One of the other things we try to tell people is if you're going to go online, take a little post-it note and put it over top of the camera, just so it doesn't show who you are. And then prosecution is, I just wish my parents would have helped me find the professional help I needed. Go after these predators. Because once that child feels that they have a team surrounding them, they will give more information and they will share more. This is not just about them now. This is about all the other thousands of children that this person reached out to. But how do you stop it? It takes time. It takes people willing to report and share who and where they were talking to. It is a collaborative project. I have a website, which is called theathletesilence.com. On there is a page called PIG, and you can get all the information there. I have a couple of eBooks that are getting ready to pop out so that people can learn a little bit more about it. I just wanted to share with you, I'm still working with survivorspace.org, where I got the chance to have you on my little thing called Talk with John Michael. And I'm just wondering if you'd be interested if we could switch chairs now.
You want to guest host for a bit now?
I would love to guest host.
Amazing. Let's do it.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Next week on What Came Next.
I think this would be a prime opportunity for you to be able to share what you really want them to know.
In April of 2023, my life changed. He received 36 more years to life in prison. So he got a second life sentence, which was the reason why he was postponing his hearings. He was waiting for that sentencing. He's kept tabs on me. So there's stalking. There were continuous criminal efforts against me where I was like, wait, but how? How is there parole still?
What Came Next is a Broken Cycle Media production, co-produced by Amy B. Chesler and Tiffany Reese. If you'd like to help support What Came Next, you can leave us a positive review, support our sponsors, or follow Broken Cycle Media on Instagram at Broken Cycle Media. Check out the episode notes for sources, resources, and to follow our guests. Thank you again for listening.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.